Hello and welcome to Three Wide No Cover. Weekends don't get much bigger than this one. We are talking AFL and NRL Grand Finals. We're talking about Group 1 racing on Friday and Saturday. We're talking about a heap of other sport going on throughout Australia and around the world. This is as big as it gets. I'm joined by two of the greats, Julian Vaughan, Simon Marshall. I don't know if you could be as excited as I am because I get fizzed up for this sort of stuff, but I know you're both pumped. We've got Cox Plate. That's where our attention's going to go, to the Valley. How are we feeling?
Oh, exciting. It's a ripping weekend, absolutely, as you mentioned. Cox Plate, it's going to be a fantastic race. We've got the international, so that's a great sign. We've got a three-year-old in there. We've got possibly the Melbourne Cup winner this year running as well. He's just got to get through another race. And then we've got another mare from WA who's put her hand up last start. Ripping race, pretty good other nine races as well. And then we've just got the weather to completely us over.
There you go, SD, hang on.
Yes, the pitter-patter of range, Jules, eh? That El Nino's kicking in. El Nino fans are a bit fizzing. Don't worry about that, Wally. I tell you what, they're getting excited from all the way from the Swan River to the beaches of Bondi Stakes there and also South Stratty up there in Brisbane to Cannons Creek here in Victoria. They're all talking about the Cox Plate, Wally. It's the Weight for Age Championship of the World, over 2,040 metres. And with the international contingent this year and the hype around Russian Camelot, who was beaten by Arcadia Queen and a three-year-old in the field and a first emergency in the field that should be in it, it's been hyped up a treat and I can't wait to sink our teeth in it.
Cannons Creek, where's that?
That's just out past about 7.5 k's past Devon Meadows, which is about 7 k's south of Cranbourne.
All right, we got there. We found one name we'd heard before.
I thought it might be near Slough.
It's a good mud pit there, Cannons Creek. When the tide goes out, you jump in, do a couple of lazy knees.
Take your word for it.
I've been to Slough. Let me tell you, Slough, it's actually a lot nicer than people think. They've got a nice new train station. All right, we're going to jump in now to
What's the brewery there? Courage? No, come on, get on with it.
We have got trainers, we've got jockeys, we've got wet trackers to look at, and we've got some big names for this one. Julesy, we'll start with Mark Zara. No, we won't. Before we get to that, we're going to do the track report. Absolutely bottled it. We're not going to start again. That's fine, Julesy. The track report, I assume we're focusing on the Valley.
We are. True position in tyre. That's what we do know. So we're going to start the true position. Now, we're going with the fact that it's probably going to be a soft seven, but the range here could be anywhere from soft five, good four, to heavy 10. And we don't joke about that because the bomb is suggesting that we're going to get up to 10 mils Friday night when they're racing. So that's going to have an impact, obviously, when those horses go over it, win the wet track. It obviously creates divots. And then we're expecting it, obviously, to come off Saturday morning up to 20 mils as well. So what does this mean? We've worked off the soft track here. Leaders, we know the Australian average is 21%, but Valley, True, in soft conditions, only 11%. So they start to fall off a cliff a little bit. And you can just see it gradually increases for those other horses. Midfield and worse than midfield, no dramas whatsoever. We know backmark is usually 7%. Well, that win strike rate goes to 11%. It's really tricky. There's no real great spot to be, especially when this track gets even worse than that soft seven, because you can see horses coming wide because the inside might be off because Cox Plate, it's going to be race 17 of 18. So there's plenty to play out. What we do know is just with that southerly wind, it's going to be a headwind in the straight. So again, that might have an impact on the leaders around Moonee Valley. But with the rainfall we're expected, we're definitely thinking we're going to be on a soft seven. But I can't, you know, sign off on that because what's happened in the last couple of weeks with the bomb has just been not even close. So hands in the air. But we think we're going to be on a soft track. And if we are, well, you'll probably look for wet trackers.
There you go. Wind, rain, it'll be coming in sideways, Julesy. And apologies for the slip up there. I was like Julian Vaughan's not reading the run sheet. Let's have a look now at Mark Zara as a jock who is on fire.
Six from his last 22, going at 27%. Put on a clinic last week. We spoke about him before. Just when it's grand final time, these kind of jockeys come to the fore, and Mark Zara is one of them. Again, he's got some pretty good rides. He's just a rider that I think, I love to call him just a money rider. He's a person when horse is firm in the market, he rides really well. And you can see his rides here, SD. He's got a couple at big prices, but he's got a couple of horses that will actually really appreciate this wet track, like a horse like Sound in the Moonee Valley Gold Cup.
Yeah, for sure. Valaquenta's in good form. Drop back in class will suit him. Fashino's in a mare's race that's really open. You mentioned Sound Magic. Wandle roll forward. She was here last year. Got beat by Winks and one of McKinnon. So she's a good riding mare that'll go forward and should get a toe in the ground too.
Julesy, Benny Malham's next, not just on fire, but on fire at the Valley too.
Yeah, really important, I think. Four from his last 13, so that's a positive sign, going around 31%. But also at Moonee Valley, just look through his ride. Six from his last 24, going at 25%. And SD, you would know that this track is quite a unique track. So if you've got a really good record at Moonee Valley, I think that can set you up. It doesn't have a lot of rides, Benny Malham, but they're all at the pointy end of the market. He could be walking away with a bag and he's only got four rides.
Well, to be honest, he's got better chances than those four rides than Mark Zahra on the card. Portland Sky's in great form. Incredulous Dreams in that mare's race. Holmesman, if it rains, he's just a swimmer at 460 and he's firming with Sportsbet. And Armoury, well, Aidan O'Brien, he gets it right. He's won with Adelaide before, that team. So good ride in the Cox Plate.
There you go. And we talk about jockeys that get it right this time of year. I'll tell you, a few better trainers than this one going around this time of year. Chris Waller.
Yeah, well, he's a genius. We know that. His volume speaks loudly, especially in Sydney. But Melbourne, his stable hasn't been going great, but it's grand final time in Melbourne. And five from his last 20 going at 25%. So you can see that start to build up. So Chris Waller, I think he's got these grand final horses, especially in, he had it with the Caulfield Cup last week with Very Elegant. When they need to perform, he gets them absolutely their peak at the grand final. He's going to have these horses in the Cox Plate. I know they're probably at a bigger price as Colding and Humidor SD, but he's got a few others. There's a couple of imports there like Almedo and Salino. He's going to have these horses ready to go.
Been trialling up sharp, Almedo. I can't believe how well he's going with a Norton bid on up against Kingsville Dream. It's a drop back and grade for him. And Polly Gray in race eight as well with Salino. She absolutely loves the sting out in Colding and Humidor. Well, he's armed. Colding's coming off beating Fierce Impact over a mile and a quarter in the Hill Stakes last start, and he rolls forward. So he's not hopeless with Humidor in the Cox Plate.
Love that placement of Kingsville Dream. Looking forward to hearing more about that later, guys. Now, wet trackers. When we talk about these, the ROI goes through the roof. We've covered it off. Look back at the back catalogue of the shows. When the wet weather comes and Julesy and SD find a few for you, these are ones to follow. Julesy, now we should explain here, these are the horses that have their best figures on the wet.
Yeah, so peak performances are on wet tracks. Now, there's going to be other horses that obviously go well on the wet, but these horses absolutely revel, and the peak performances on my stuff are through these horses here. So Jungle Edge, Ancestry, Our Gladiator and Free of Debt. Now, they're all in the first race, but they all have peak performances on the wet track. So there's really good signs. Race three, you've got Rock the Ring. Now, it's coming out of a race that's probably not as strong as a couple of these others, but its huge performance was on a maiden on a really wet track. So again, double figures, wouldn't be surprised to see it tighten up. Mildred's another one on a wet track that's going to appreciate that. Thermosphere's figures on wet tracks are outstanding. Incredulous Dream, that was from last week. Again, your race book's going to say soft five or soft six punters. Don't believe everything you read on our stuff. We trust what we do. It was closer to a heavy eight, definitely a soft seven. So that was a very wet track. Yes, Baby, Yes. Dan's Ants. Huge figures on wet track. So again, big price, but it's going to revel in these conditions. Shrouded in Mist won a group race in Adelaide on a wet track. I Am Eloquent absolutely swims, so it's another one at a big price. Captain Corelli won its maiden on a really wet track. Saradek on the 7-day backup won on a wet track. We love backups. Etta James won a Sydney Cup on a really wet track. Sounds got really good form on a wet track. Miami Bound loves the wet tracks. Wakeful Stakes this time last year was on that. And then you get into the Cox Plate, and here are the horses that we've identified that absolutely will revel the wet tracks. Mugatu, Aspetir, Sir Dragon 8, he just needs it to be mud kind conditions. Natoya won a Doncaster on a really wet track. Russian Camelot absolutely needs a wet track. Raisin Dietra and La Mexicana was on a Cranbourne really wet track last a couple of weeks ago at its last start. They're just the horses that you can identify at big prices or even at the pointy end just to see, because if we get this rain, they're the horses you need to look for, and I can assure you the professionals will find these horses. You might be able to find them early doors. They'll only play on the day. If you get this rain, they're going to firm up punters.
There you go. Very good, Julesy. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to get stuck into the Cox Plate and plenty of other racing from the Valley. Welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. Let's get into it. Group 1 racing at the Valley. Of course, we're talking about the time-honoured Cox Plate. Your favourite is Russian Camelot at $4.80. Armoury, $5.50, as is Acadia Queen. Probabil Julesy is $8.50. Sir Dragonette or Dragon A, depending on which side of the Yarra you're from, $13. Colding, $13. Aspetar, $17. Grand Slam and Humidor, both at $21. If we go over the page there, Magic Wand, Mugatu, Best of the Rest at $27. Julesy, the map, and then Well, what do you say, you two just take this race apart and find us a winner?
Yeah, fair enough too, Wally. I think the three-year-old has to roll forward if it wants to win the race with 49.5. We know they've got a pretty good record. If they roll forward, sit in the first couple, I think they lead on this horse. There's not a lot of speed in this race. I know Cox Plates have a past history of being running at really fast tempos, and I know the last few years have been. I think 2 years ago, Winx's wasn't, and other than that, they have been fast tempos, but the way this sets up, there's not a lot of speed in this race. I mean, Probabil gate 2 takes a spot. Armoury can probably sit in the first 4 or 5. Colding, I think, has to roll forward from gate 10. Russian Camelot, we don't know what they do, especially being it's so late in the day. Does Ollie try and get the backside of Colding, or does he go back? Aspid is the interesting horse for me. I know a lot of people have got this horse going back, but I think if he wants to win the race, he probably has to roll forward and generate some speed into the race. And a lot of these other horses have to be negative neutral because that's just their go. They'll want to find a backside. It's really tricky the way it sort of sets up, SD, but let's get through to Russian Camelot because he's probably the most interesting horse. He's the most talked about horse. He's only had 8 starts, but he's probably going to start favourite in this race, especially if the track is wet. He did win the Underwood Stakes 2 starts ago. He started $1.55. It was $1.95 into $1.55, heavily supported. It was a wet track. It was a soft 7 here, SD, and I thought he was pretty good here, and we all thought, well, this is the go now. He's just going to keep on winning. But here it was a good performance, wasn't it?
Yeah, I liked tradesman-like work here, Julesy, because he jumped, he sat 3 deep. Oliver rode him like the best horse in the race. He just got him into a good rhythm and gave him a good pipe opener. What he did down the side there on the forgiving track is he pressed the button a little earlier than what he did when I go through martial law. We'll show the Caulfield Stakes where Arcadia beat him, and he went a little slower, and it was more sit and sprint and suited the mare. There he opened his engines up a little bit and needed that gallop. I reckon he needed the gallop over the 2,000 metre last start, and I reckon Ollie, from that wide barrier on your speed chart that you just mentioned, will just let him roll, stay 5 deep around that first bend, let Magic Wand Colding and the 3-year-old Glenn Sam sort it out. Aspitar will kick and hold a position, but he can get over racing. We've seen him before do that. And then Probabil will be that first half a dozen. They'll all want to get their spots, though, because when they roll down that side, I see them all just fitting in and then cuddling. It suits Russian Camelot to draw out. He gets claustrophobic. He'll be in last and out quick. And then he can roll across Ollie and just ride him wherever he's comfortable. I think he's got a good handle on him now. We know he's 2,500 metre gallop. He was 5 deep all the way. And Johnny Allen pressed the button on him early and he hit the front at the top of the straight in Adelaide. So he will get going at some stage because I'm expecting them to back the tempo off mid-race. So does it suit Colding? Does it suit the likes of Magic Wand? And does it suit the likes of Probabil on speed?
Yeah, I mean, I think off a map perspective, Probabil's really in a great position from that gate too. And she's been backed a little bit, sort of $11, $12 into around that $8.50. I think that's probably going to get soft again come race day as we get closer to the race. But it's just going to be really interesting to see how this race is run because I just don't know if it's, as you say, I think they will sit up at some stage. And if they do, some horse is probably going to have to make a move to try and make a generally run race. The other horses we're going to mention here is obviously I think we've got a few internationals that we have to get through, SD, because they have this X factor that, you know, we have to get through to them. Are they good enough? Well, I think a few of them are definitely good enough. You speak of Armoury, you speak of Aspida, and we speak of Sir Dragonet. I think Sir Dragonet needs a really wet track to be highly competitive in a race like this. But here is Sir Dragonet here. Look, he's a horse with a time form of 121, so it doesn't stack up higher than Armoury and the other horse, Aspida. But I think this is the race where Magical wins the race. Sir Dragonet runs second, and Armoury's back there and finishes fourth. So finishes ahead of Armoury. This was a soft track this day. They both started $19, so the SP was the same. He doesn't have a lot of gate speed, so I expect him to go back, expect him to be ridden conservatively, but if it's a brutally run race and it's a really wet track, he becomes a major player for me.
Yeah, they'll need to get cracking down that 700-metre back straight, that's for sure. We know he ran second to Buckhurst throughout his form as well, so he can tie the line in Buckhurst, who flopped in a Caulfield Cup. Kieran Maher now trains the horse. He says the horse is going really well. He'll be ridden quietly early, as you mentioned, Julesy, and he'll be storming home. What about the likes of Armoury and also Aspitar? So we'll have a look at replays from those two horses coming up right now. And here's Armoury. He got caught in trouble here and he was able to overcome it late. He gets eased and checked out of a small field, like 5-horse field, but you just love the way he had a turn of foot and picked up.
This is the key. I think a lot of Europeans, we think, oh, they're sort of grinding stays. This is the horse that sort of bucks that trend. He's the horse with the acceleration. He didn't have any luck in that race and still his sprint was good enough to win the race. So that's why gate six is so important for Benny Mellum and the Coolmore team, because I think this horse could possibly sit 1-1 or even just another pair back. And if it's a moderately run race, he's the one with the best turn of foot and he's going to be mighty hard to beat. Now, again, on a wet track, I'm a little bit worried about him. I don't think he can have that acceleration. It's not as electric. But if the track's relatively dry and he sits in the 1-1, they won't know which way he goes. He is a very, very good horse. Very good over 1,600 metres, 2,000 metres,
yep,
right at the end of his range. But he can win the race if it's moderately run.
And look, we can draw his form through Magical and also Sir Dragon A. He's very close up to those two horses here. So he's right in the race, but he's just going to need that beautiful run in the race. He's the type of horse that'll be having the last crack at him with 100 to go if he can hit his top around that bend and as they enter Flemington. Now, Aspetar's a really interesting horse for me. I've got him as my best roughie. I love this gallop out in the York Stakes here. The form behind it, it's absolutely sensational, I would have thought. Just prior to this, and a horse called Lord Glitters actually runs second. He's a Queen Anne Stakes winner at Ascot, and that's really good form. I love his action. Prior to this, he won right-handed Sydney Way in a tight Group 1 Germany, 2,400 metres, yep, in Germany. And he used that rail beautifully. So he's very adaptable. I like the way he sat off there and the mile and a quarter gallop, and he used that turn of foot and sprint. Inside barrier, nice tempo early. Look for him to pop that one horse off the fence going out of the straight for first time, be as close as he can, but he needs to relax. And if he does, he's then going to ask the question of the likes of Russian Camelot down the side and press the button early on the horse on the three-year-old like Grand Slam.
Yeah, absolutely. He's the different one to Armory. He's a horse that needs it to be sort of a high-pressure race because he'll absorb it because he's got that great 2,400-metre record. Yes, he ran a peak 2,000 metres in that race that we saw then, which I love. International horses coming off peak performances, they usually stack up. We know their horse is good enough. He was rated 124 as well, time form. Fascinating race. They're really good chances. Where do I land in terms of a tip? Absolutely impossible. And this is just for clarity for the punters out there. I could give you two horses that I really like on a dry track, two horses I really like on a wet track, but it's just impossible to work out which ones they're going to be. I love Arcadia Queen and Armory on the dry, but the wet, they probably can't win the race, I don't think. And Sir Dragon A, which I marked $17, becomes a single-figure horse for me on a wet track, as does Russian Camelot becomes my favourite. And originally on a dry track, I marked him $6.50. Yeah. That's the kind of race it is, because I just
love it.
It changes so much with the variable of the weather.
So I like Russian Camelot for the Aussies. I want to ride him on speed and I want to bowl, get bowling down that 700 and use the three-year-old to tag me into the race. Hit my top prior to the bend and make it a strong 2,100-metre gallop. And the best of the internationals, I want to ride Aspetar. I like him right-handed, I like him left-handed. He's a 2,400-metre win, he absorbs pressure and he can bowl and go with Russian Camelot. They're the two for mine. And if there was a blowout on a bog track, it's Mugatu. I really like the way he's been going about it on a bog track.
Well, there you go. And speaking of Mugatu, we've got your opinions there. We're going to check in with our Sydney specialist, Caitlin Mallion, and talk about all the Sydney runners and get her tip as well. Katie, how are you going?
Really good, Wally. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very excited. Said at the start of the show, two grand finals, Group 1 racing on Friday and Saturday, and heaps of other niche sort of sport all around the country and overseas. It's a cracking weekend. Look, probably pretty different for you up there. You'll be able to celebrate the weekend with some friends. But look, we've been talking about the Cox Plate. We've just come out of that. And I'd really like to hear your thoughts on the Sydney horses coming down. And then, of course, your tip.
Yeah, well, it's a great race, isn't it? I've gone through this race and I have heard that there's a lot of rain predicted Friday night and Saturday. So we might end up with a really heavy track, which will enhance some of the horses' chances and probably knock a few of them out. So, look, let's talk about number one, Colding. He's going really well. He won the Hill Stakes in really good fashion. So he ticks the 2,000-metre box. Probably doesn't tick the heavy track box. He's not too bad on a soft track, but the heavy track might see him out. So he'll be interesting. Fierce Impact, he's a three-time Group 1 winner. He had no luck in the Hill Stakes where he had to go back. So I think the 2,000 won't be the problem for him. But another horse, it probably doesn't want it too heavy, but can handle it soft. Got Mugatu, he's following the saintly form into it from the Metropolitan back to the 2,000, so 24 back to 2,000. Saintly was the last horse horse to do that. And in the years of the Cox Plate, it's been done 7 times, so can be done. He gets through the soft, but he's never seen a heavy, so he actually might be one of the chances that could get through a heavy track. Chris Lees ran third a couple of years back with Samantha Miss. I remember that race clearly. She probably arguably should have won, but anyway, we'll move on to horse number 10, Natoya. She loves the wet conditions. She's actually had one start at Moonee Valley for a win back a few years back, just in a handicap race back in 2018. So she gets the Valley, so that's a big tick. She ran well on the Craven Plate behind Think It Over the 2000 tick there. And Probabil, probably the horse that you really, really want to know about. She is an exceptional mare, probably doesn't want it too wet. So I'm really interested to see what she can do. She gets through the soft conditions. She's a classy mare. She's drawn well. She gets the right running. I'm sure she'll be in the finish.
There you go, Katie. And who do you have on top? Are you going with one of the Sydney horses, or are you joining us down here in Melbourne with one of ours, or, of course, one of the internationals?
I've always followed Russian Camelot through, so I think he's a top chance. But you know who I'm going to tip? I'm going to tip Humidor. I think he can run a super race. He grows another leg at Moonee Valley. The soft conditions will not affect him. He'll only enhance his capabilities of winning the race. And he's sort of drawn out there. He'll be back and, he'll be running on. So I think Humidor can run a top race here in the Cox Plate.
Well, I'll tell you what, Katie, if it runs anywhere like it did a couple of years ago when it was second to Winx, you'd think that it would have these others covered. Thank you as always, Katie, and we'll catch you next week.
Thanks, Wally. Look forward to it.
Well, there you go. Caitlin Mallion in the same camp around Russian Camelot, but really likes Humidor a price. So make sure that we'll see if that goes in our quaddie. Hopefully it goes in yours. We've got plenty more Cox Plate coming up later in the show with Martial Law. We've got Jules' punter education. But when we come back, we're going to take apart a few other races at the Valley. Welcome back, punters. We've sorted the Cox Plate. As I said, we're going to touch on that a little bit later in the show. But now let's jump into the rest of the racing at the Valley. We're going to have a look at race 6 on the card, the Vase. Young Werther is a $2.25 favourite. Cherry Tortoni at $5.50. Quay Quay at $6. Luna Fox at $9. Captain Corelli, $10. Tanker Best the Rest at $16. Julesy, we get straight to you for the map.
Yeah, not a lot of speed here, I don't think, Wally. I think Tanker rolls forward. That's its go. One last start on a pretty moderate tempo. I think it goes again. Saradek on the quick 7-day backup. I think he can roll forward. Captain Corelli can take a spot. Maybe Reliable Loving can go forward. Young Werther, really interesting to see what Ollie does here. I mean, had no luck last start. Was $3 into $2.60. Heavily supported. Didn't get any luck. We can see the replay here. You can see it back with the Danny O'Brien colours at Flemington. Quay Quay wins the race. Was heavily supported. Market wanted to be with it. Look, it just didn't work out for him. And then eventually it sort of nearly came through and still won the race. He's a horse that I think needs genuine tempo. So does Ollie just go for it and go, you know what, we're getting to 2,000 metres here. I'm just going to try and lead on it. There's not much speed. Maybe he does that. But if they've still got the Derby aspirations, does he want to look after it and obviously get it to the Derby in one piece? It's going to be really interesting, the tactics, I think, on this horse. Either way, I think it's the best horse in the race. It's only had 2 starts, but I loved... Obviously, it's Geelong maiden win, 3/4 of a second inside standard time. The last 400, 200 was really good as well. Out quick, home quick, positive signs. I think it wins again. I don't want a really wet track, but he's by Tavistock, so maybe you're suggesting he'll probably get through it. But I think he's the best horse in the race, and I think he wins Young Werther.
Yeah, benchmark horses will take the lead up here. Richie Lemming's got a couple that are lightly raced, one on the provincials on the way up. They'll make sure this is a nice, true gallop. How's the track going to be racing by this time of the day is my question as a jockey. So I want to know. The horse I want to ride, and it's Quay Quay. There was money for 2 horses in that race, Quay Quay and also Young Werther, when they both raced last start. And I love Quay Quay, how he was taken over by Alborado actually in the race, the top of the straight, and Alborado went past him. But then he was able to pick up and then just... show that he's a true stayer, this horse, and he can't sit and sprint. Yep. They were riding him too close in shorter distance races before that. So here, I like him drawn out, and I like the fact that Alvarado's come out, franked the form at Caulfield last week, and Quay Quay loves juice in the track. So that's a tick for me, and I think that he can sit 3 deep. Won't matter if he doesn't have cover. If he has got cover, beautiful. He'll have a couple of horses to follow down that side. He'll get rolling on him early. Yep, Young Werther with the winkers on for the first time. He'll have to be ridden closer. He'll get one out, one back. He'll have every possible chance. Ollie will be careful that those horses don't come back in his lap that are coming off provincial form. But I think Quay K will have the last crack at him, and I love horses that are winners, so I'm sticking with him.
Mm. The winners, very good. SD, let's have a look now at race 7. Of course, I'm talking about the Crystal Mile. Holmesman, $4.60 favourite. Chief Ironside, $5.50. As it, Kings Will Dream, very interested on this placement, boys. Looking forward to hearing about that. Almedo is $6.50. Age of Chivalry also. Dr. Drill, $7.50. So really congested at the top of the market. Riddle Me That, Best of the Rest, Julesy at $14. The map.
Yeah, the winners first with Jack Brownie and the other bloke. Map, very important. Don't think there's much speed at all. I think Holmesman goes forward. And Streets of Avalon, out of form terribly, but I think it's going to be sitting outside Holmesman. Not much else speed in the race. So Holmesman gets his chance to control the race. I think he's the best horse in the race. Now, he's off 203 days. Don't be too worried about that for this horse. This horse does go well off these kinds of breaks. Last time he was off a last prep, I think he ran seventh behind Tiakau Shark in a really high rating race to Chipping Norton. He was $11, only got beaten 2.5 lengths. Then you go back the prior start off 300-plus days. He won a Fian Stakes over 1,600 metres this track and distance. And then prior to that, off again around 150 or 160 days, he ran second in a Fian. There's no real issue for this horse off these kinds of breaks. I will say, last 10 minutes of betting with these Lloyd Williams horses, especially off long breaks, are your best friend. If the market tightens up with this horse, be with it. Just be very careful. Be mindful. Watch it and see what happens. But got no issue with the wet track either. Did run second in a Caulfield Cup on a really soft track. Homesman for me.
And, Julesy, we always do say you're better off getting on at $3 if it's a winner and they want to be around it than $4.50 and you don't know what's going to happen.
Correct.
He's second to Best Solution in a Caulfield Cup, Julesy, and Tiakau Shark, very elegant in that Chipping Norton. That's good enough form for Holmesman if the rains come. You've got to trust him that he's fit. But I like horses that are hard fit going in. I think Kings Will Dream dropped back. His run in the Turnbull Stakes was outstanding. This is the first time he's met an inferior race in terms of Group 1 level weight for age for him. So he gets his chance at the mile. Kings Will Dream, if you like him. Chief Ironside won this race last year, coming off a two-rack. I think he's going better than what he was last year when he won it. So he's just ticking along nicely. And then, but the horse I want to ride here, and it's a bit of a... spoke in the wheel, if you like. And this horse is Almedo. Almedo, I think you call him. I love his trials. Look, he had one start, this international raider for Chris Waller, and he absolutely flopped. He over-raced. But Chris has trialled him three times this time in. He was only 2.8 off Bivouac. He was sharp enough in a trial. And his Group 1 form behind Circus Maximus, which holds up on a soft track over a mile and a quarter, I think he's a play for me because he's going to sit on speed. He's going to get the Norton bit on, and I really like him on speed here. So Almedo for me.
Just quickly with him, time form 120 stacks up really well. When you talk about, we're talking about Armoury and Aspida being sensational Cox Plate chances. It's only 124. There's not much between those horses. So Almedo's European form stacks up very, very
good
well.
Good to here. Know, Julesy. Let's have a look at the Gold Cup now. Our favourite is Shared Ambition at $4. Salino at $6. Sound and Hush Rider, both $6.50. Polygray at $11. Ocean X, $12. Goat Chief and $15. Trapful, $16. Lavendi at $23. Julesy.
Yeah, Hush Rider rolls forward. I think Salino, it's a horse that's got form in Europe over 3,600 metres and even further. So I think it probably has to roll forward to be a chance. Lavendi can roll forward. Sound probably gets the 1-1. Trapful falls. We know it has to probably roll forward as well. So there's probably going to be some pretty good tempo in this race. I thought this was a really tricky race because Shared Ambition, you look at, again, the soft track form, I think it's will say 4 for 3 wins, but you drill right down into that. That's been sort of on soft fives. Heavy tracks, 2 big failures in Sydney on really wet tracks. So just be careful of Shared Ambition. Doesn't tell you everything you need to know in the race book. I actually went with Miami Bound here at a bit of a price. I just thought she was starting to get back somewhere near her best. I thought it was okay behind Chapada, but I think the key factor here is I reckon she's a superior wet tracker. She spoke about it, that she won the Wakeful on a wet track, so over 2,000 metres. And also her Bendigo maiden win was 1 second inside standard time on a soft track. I'm with Miami Bound at a bit of a price.
Yeah, the blinker's come off shared ambition. I think he's got the class to win this race, and it's his right race over the 2,500 metres, 1.9 off. You see Sound running second here. He was three deep and posted here, shared ambition. Persan goes on and wins the race. Sound, second to Persan and also Credence, last two gallops. These two horses are right up to it on their ears, but Julesy makes a good point that if it is a bold track for shared ambition, there is a question mark. I think Ocean X is ready to rock and roll over the 2,500 metres if it's a bold track too.
There you go, on its way to a Melbourne Cup. Let's have a look at the last on the card, Race 10, and your favourite is Written Beauty at $3, La Mexicana at $5, Minhaj 6, Maha 6.50, Highly Discreet, $11. Melbourne Storm, the best of the last trot there at $16. Julesy.
If this was on a dry track, I'd be declaring her. Just don't know if she's going to be able to handle the wet track. Not worried about the wide gate. I talk about Written Beauty. Marked her around $2.40, $2.50. She's a really good horse. Busted the clock last start, first go with the Hawks, 220 into something like $1.85. Yeah, I think this horse just rolls forward and gives them a real good beating. She's one to watch as you go forward. She's going to win a really good race in the future, but hopefully she starts the trend by winning at Moonee Valley on Saturday yesterday.
She was second on debut on a heavy track, as you mentioned. She smashed the clock on return. She won after that, then smashed the clock at Canterbury, Jules. She's a big girl.
Yeah.
And she sat on speed and powered away, had something up her armpit, that is for sure, in the engine and the tank. If Team Hawks run her and it's a heavy track and they forecast more rain, get on, because they'll know whether she can handle it or not. She's their best for me for the day, Written Beauty.
Oof. Yeah, look, the time was great, 3/4 of a second inside standard, last 400, last 200 good, but I loved the last 100 metres through the line, past the post. She was just continuing to go on. So 1,200 metres, ideal for this horse. She's going to be a beauty in the future.
Bruin, as always, gentlemen, now let's take a break. When we come back, we've got Marshall Orr and Julesy's Punter Education.
And welcome back to Three Wide No Cover. It's now time for Marshall Law, where we talk tactics for the big one, the Wait for Age Classic, the 2040 metre Cox Plate. So let's have a look at the key runner here who's drawn the wide barrier. He's rushing Camelot. He gets claustrophobic. They wanted him to go in last and hopefully jump out first. Now, here we are looking at the Caulfield Stakes last up, where Arcadia Queen on a dry track is close enough to him and ends up out sprinting him. It's a small field. It was a sprint, sit and sprint affair. He was three deep facing the breeze. Damien Oliver gives him a really nice clean out here. He's still sort of cuddling him a little bit. You're not going to see this in a Cox Plate. He's going to have his engines opened up at the 600 metre mark and be at his top at the 300 metre mark on the point of the bend. When Oliver actually goes for him and gives him a couple here, Arcadia Queen's been able to creep up on his outside and out sprint him and bang. So it was the dash for cash over the mile and a quarter. Rains are coming, Marge. So let's have a look at the speed map, which is going to suit the likes of Russian Camelot drawn out deep. Now, I've got him drawn out deep there floating. Damien Oliver will jump out of the barriers, and if he pings the lids like he has been and jumping really well, why wouldn't you use the likes of Colding to come forward to have a look at Grand Slam, the three-year-old with the lightweight and magic wand? I've left the scratching in there just in case we get a scratching by this time we go to air and Buckhurst gets a run in. He can roll forward for that forward position, rolling out of the straight the first time. There's always pressure to jostle for your positions. Master of Wines, well, he's on the backup from a Caulfield Cup, so he'll try and be as close as he can. I expect him to be back just a little bit further, getting into a nice rhythm. Probabil sat nice and handy with 52.5 in an Epsom. She's going to sit close. I like the way Aspitar has been able to gallop right-handed and left-handed. I think that he can sit into a forward position, drawn that low barrier, and make Colding work. Armoury will ask the question and maybe come back in behind him. You know Arcadia Queen's going to go back and find a tail. You know Sir Dragonet likes to find a hind quarter. Mugatu will drop back from the Metrop. Fierce Impact will go back to try and run the mile and a quarter with Humidor and Natoya, who just loves sitting last. So the gallop out of that straight the first time is crucial. Down the side from the 16 to the bottom of the hill where it plateaus out at the 1100 metre, 1200 inside the 1400 metre mark, I should say, is going to be interesting. What does the three-year-old do and Magic Wand this mare that may bring up the speed? Colding will be finding a position. I'm tipping Probabil. And then you're looking at Russian Camelot floating to try and fit back in behind with Aspitar, Armoury back and Arcadia Queen. If I'm Damien Oliver, I'm looking to fit into this position here. Two pairs, one pair back, but always have daylight on my right shoulder, on his right shoulder, rolling down the bottom of that hill. So he can press the button when he likes. I think they'll back the tempo off. I think that they'll just cuddle up nicely, the three. the three-year-old out in front in a Cox Plate. So what does that mean? All of a sudden you'll get the likes of Sir Dragon A and these type of horses and Arcadia Queen all starting to build when they get across to that 700-metre point of a bend down the straight where we see that wall in a Cox Plate. First furlong is the key. These are the pointers out of the Cox Plate. So find your position going out of the straight and be comfortable going down the hill the first time. I'm tipping the fence will be off because we've had rain on Friday night, which they're forecast, and also Saturday, and the fence will be chopped out. What does Russian Camelot do from the wide gate? Damien Oliver's got two decisions. Jump, roll forward, fit in outside a lead, or maybe a pair or two bare backs, which would be perfect for him, two pairs back, one off the fence. Mid-race E. So watch Grand Slam, who's stepping up from a 1,600 to the mile and a quarter for the first time on a heavy track, to just try and get a couple of easy sectionals. Magic Wanderlust, the question. Probabil will be handy. Colding will be on his outside. And then watch for that mid-race move down the side. If the three-year-old with 49.5 gets a soft run, he's got to clip and sort of open them up from the 600-metre mark and try and get a dash on them because he's got no hope of out-sprinting these better class stays like Russian Camelot, Aspatar, Armoury and Sir Dragon A when they wind up down that side there at Moonee Valley. You've got to be up at your top at the 300-metre mark. So be ready for that dash from the 700 to the 300-metre mark at Moonee Valley. It's a fascinating race. Tactics always are fascinating to me. Best ride will win it on an inclement track, inclement weather. Mickey, it sets up really well this year. It's a good race.
I say it every week, SD. That's why you watch this show. We've got your thoughts. We've got Julesy's thoughts. We heard from Caitlin Mallion. SD's taking you through how the race should be run. Only one thing left to do, and that's to check in with Julesy on punter education and the key chances of some key runners.
Thank you, Wally. Yeah, so we did this last week with the Caulfield Cup, so we're going to do it again, obviously, this week with the key runners. So I'm just going to get some key highlights for some horses that when you see on race day, you can identify and where these horses are going to be best suited. Russian Camelot, peak performances are on genuine soft tracks. And I speak of the SA Derby and obviously the Underwood Stakes two starts ago. That's on our stuff, so you look in the race book and maybe that SA Derby was just on a soft five or soft six. It was clearly on a soft seven. I think this horse needs a soft seven or worse to produce his best. His four defeats have been on firm track. So horses like Pancho, Spend, Fierce Impact, obviously in the Maccabi, and obviously Arcadia Queen last start. They were on dry tracks. So dry tracks, I think he's vulnerable. His SP of $1.45 and $1.55 his last two starts. What that means is the market, the people that move this market are identifying this horse to a much higher level to what he's actually done on my stuff and most other people's punting stuff, databases. They've just got him progressing to a huge, huge level. He's got to get there. He hasn't done it yet. The market thinks he's going to get there at some stage. Whether it's going to be on Saturday, we'll wait and see. Does he need a solid tempo? A couple of his wins, the SA Derby was in a slowly run race, the Underwood, it wasn't in a fast run race either. I don't know if he needs a solid tempo so much. He's got versatility, as SD mentioned, with his map. He could go forward, he can go back. That horse has got some strings to his bow in terms of versatility. I just think if you look at Russian Camelot, it is about the track conditions. He definitely needs it soft seven or worse. We get to Arcadia Queen, complete opposite. Peak performances on dry tracks. The Kingston Town, the Theo Marks and the WA Guineas, all on dry tracks. Peak run this prep, it was last start. So there's the positive. The bar plates came off. Is she now 100% right? They probably haven't had her right the whole prep. Maybe they've got her right now. Maybe that's a solid consideration why she ran a peak. The Kingston Town win, I know it was as a three-year-old and it was a while ago. It was 2 seconds inside standard time. This was a fast run 1,800-metre race. Don't be worried about the fact that you think Arcadia Queen's going to need a soft tempo. I think if this horse is right on a dry track, fast or slow, she can be pretty dominant. And her 1,800-metre record, 3 starts, 2 wins and a third. That third obviously was when that track was pretty sticky in the Underwood. The other two wins have, other two runs have been wins. We go to Armoury, first of the internationals I want to speak of. Time form 124, stacks up really high. Northern Hemisphere three-year-old, so very similar to Russian Camelot. Did run third in the Group 1 Irish Champion Stakes behind Magical last start. Was $67 there, but it was a pretty good performance. 2,000 metre record, 3 starts, 1 win in a Group 3, a third and a fourth in Group 1, so does go well. The soft draw was the real key. Gate 6, really important for this horse. Does have form over 1,400 and 1,600 metres, so 2,000 metres is this horse's limit. It's a sit, sprint horse, so it needs to be cuddled up. It doesn't want a brutal tempo. If it's a brutal tempo, this horse can't win. If it's a sit sprint, as SD Matt have suggested with Grand Slam in front, this horse can win. I will say, soft track okay, heavy track Absolutely not. In the race book, again, it's going to say heavy track, 1 second. Well, got to drill down onto that. Don't believe everything you read. It did run second, but it also ran last. There was only two in the race. It got beaten 20 lengths. So no good on a heavy track for Armoury. Be very mindful of that going forward. Aspiter, again, time for a rating of 124. Peak performance last start. So it comes here off its best performances. We love the internationals coming here in peak form. Group 2 winner at 2,000 metres. Very good over 2,400 metres as well. So it's a horse that needs this race to be run very fast. That's why I'm expecting maybe Damian Lane to go forward on this horse. Don't be surprised. Doesn't have a lot of gatespeed, but he goes forward because it might be the only way he can win this race. Worth noting, SP $41 in the Vase over 2,400 metres. Anthony Van Dyke, which obviously ran second in the Caulfield Cup last week, started $5.50. You can tie it in with Prince of Arran, started $51. That's where the market sort of had him in the Vase. Dry and soft, no issue for that horse for Aspiter. Next horse we're going to get to, I think, is Sir Dragon A. Time form rating of 121. Again, peak performance last start behind Magical. Two starts ago, ran second to Buckhurst, didn't get a run, was $1.90 over the SP versus $2.60. So the SP, again, has this horse, is a very good horse, Sir Dragon A. Again, I think it negative neutral from the gate. They won't be positive, doesn't have a lot of gate speed. It needs a solid tempo. So a sit and sprint doesn't have the turn of foot like an Armoury or an Arcadia Queen. Going to have to be brutally run for this horse to win. And if it's really wet, favours Sir Dragon A. He's an absolute mudlark, so be positive with that horse. And the last one I want to get to is Probabil. Well, she's the mare. Career peak, she's just been career peak form this prep. Her Epsom run was outstanding. She's off 21 days. She's won before off 21 days. She won the Karaka Millions. Don't be worried about that. Fast run race, gets to 2,000 metres. Gate 2, major advantage for Probabil. Marked her $11. She's pretty short in the market, but she can win. Fascinating race, Wally.
So, Julesy, SD, thank you. Great as always. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, the Wolf of Wally Street. There you go. I've got the Lakers hat on here, the New York hat on there. I've got both coasts covered, coast to coast with taters and toast, Julesy. Where are we going? We're starting with you. We're starting with you in Perth.
We are. Race 5, number 3, Dom Deschutes takes on the older horses here. Sets up really well for this horse. Inside standard time last start. Just think it might be better than him. Mm. Progressive horse. Don't know where the ceiling is yet. And I think he can run really well for you. Dom Deschutes.
SD, you're going to Adelaide for us.
Yes, you had me at a hello. Is a race 2 and number 3. You had me at hello. First up, wide no cover, 1,200 metres, $6. 52 kilos here with the claim of 1,400 metres is right up this horse's alley. Was tested at Group 3 level and also to a fair to remember. That's good enough form for me. This is a no Metro wins race, so very well placed. You had me at hello.
There you go. And we're going to go to the Sunshine State. We're at Doomben, Julesy.
Race 6, number 5, Perito. This is a really nice horse. 1 second inside standard time at Ipswich, but speak about it a little bit. 22.32, 11.32, last 400, last 200 in a fast run race. Best of the day by far. This horse can continue to win. It's a really nice animal, I think.
SD?
Yes, I'm going race 1, number 6, Doomben. Yeah.
Doomben day.
He's a fan of ours here at 3 Wide No Cover. He's one of our ambassadors. He's a two-time winner of this track and trip. Now, he was just pipped at listed grade last time in, so he went to the next level. He's had trialled up really nice. He's got the 57 from the gate 4. He's a nice horse. We've got to follow him right through.
There you go. And we're both on the same thing in Sydney.
She is a mare, sorry.
Sorry? No. Same thing in Sydney, is that right?
Are we?
Well, you tell me.
Race 3, number 3, the Bopper. Only had 3 starts, but on debut at Tamworth, 1.5 seconds inside standard time, went to Scone, market wanted to be with it, trusted the time, $1.65, 1.25 seconds inside standard time. Then just went to Canterbury, didn't work out, run second, but again, was a market loved it. So the market's got this horse progressing to a huge level, better than what it's running in, obviously, on Saturday. Ran second, last 400, last 200, they busted the clock there, 22.14, 10.98. I know it was a slowly run race, but they smashed last 400, last 200 by about half a second compared to the rest of the day. This is a nice, very nice horse, the Bopper. It can hopefully win on Saturday and keep on winning, Esther.
Yeah, destination and on the lead will be hard to beat in the race, but he draws 4 here. What they did first up with this horse off 3 really nice trials is they wanted to ride him cute went back, then they rode him forward, then they used to go forward. So it was just all us about, come on, man, you're not going to stuff this up from gate four, are you, Joshy Parr? And no, he's not for Chrissy Lees. I like him. He's a big chestnut. He's bold. And as Julesy would mention, he's an SP star. $1.60, $2.25 and $1.50. Come on, man.
So was that 3-3 in your race book?
The Big Bopper. The Big Bopper. Is he? Did he sing Pretty Woman? Where's the Big Bopper?
No, that was Roy Orbison.
Yeah, Big O. I think they all ended up in a wreckage, didn't they?
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway.
33, who's that, SD?
Cyril.
G'day, Cyril. I will say Sydney as well. Just expecting 6 to 8 mils on race day. So just be careful. Ooh, that ooh. May affect the track a little bit. But just
take your umbrellas.
Maybe. Yeah, well, you can go. So that's a positive sign. So, yeah, get out there and get wet.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too windy either, Jules. You don't want that rain coming in sideways.
It's impossible.
There you go. SD, who have you got at the Valley, mate?
Ecumenical's in the right race for her over the 1,600 metres. She was unbelievable in the 1,000 guineas. Deep, wide, all the way, and was still there and looked a chance with 100 to go. Jeez, it falls away this race, so she's my best there at Moonee Valley.
Around the country there you go, folks. Screenshot them, write them down, get your pens and pencils out, whatever you want to do. They're the best from the boys from around the country. SD, if you're having one bet on the weekend, who would it be?
Ecumenical.
And Jules, if you were having one bet, who would it be?
Moonee Valley Race 5, number 10, Parody. Gets ready to rock and roll.
There you go. He doesn't like putting them on the run sheet. We don't know what he's tipping. We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up with the quaddie. There you go. The quaddie. Well, we'll start with this. We got it last week. It was a tough one. Plenty of other people missed it. We know that. But it was about 5 times your money for a $100 investment based on our numbers. Guys, where are we hitting this week? How are we looking? Are we going big, small, and the start? What are we doing?
Race 7, Cox Plate Day, is the Crystal Mile. Holmesman 1, Kingswell Dream, Almedo. 5 is Dr. Drill. Chief Ironside, if it rains, I think we can scratch him, but we've got him in for now.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. He won it last year, so I like the numbers there.
Roger that. Let's go to the Gold Cup 2,500 metre gallop. Hush Rider the 2, Shared Ambition the 4, 7 Sound, Ocean X the 8, Salino the 10's got to go in, Polly Gray hard fit if it rains, goes in.
Yep, no, I'm glad you haven't got Miami Bound in there, so that's great, my top selection. So, yeah. Beautiful. I reckon we put her in.
Well, that's what we call a production meeting at its best.
Excellent.
And then we're going to go to the Cox Plate, Julesy. So yes. If you want to put Miami Bound in, you can do that. We don't listen to Julian much because he hates the quaddie here on this show.
Does. I don't hate anything, by the way.
It's a strong word, don't you?
Correct.
Aspatar, got to go in the 6. Sir Dragon A. Yep. We're going to put in a Russian Camelot Armory. Anything else?
Yeah, Grand Slam, 3-year-old, go forward.
Humanoid goes in too.
Okay.
Yes, well, Humanoid. Katie's obviously.
Katie's putting that goes in.
Absolutely. And the last leg, we're going one out. The best
boom.
At Moonee Valley.
Love it.
Written Beauty.
Yep.
There you go. So there you go. 47.62%, a lot juicier than other weeks. Tell you what, so we'll be all chips into that one in the last, guys. Well, I'll tell you what, it's been a great show. Thank you for everything you bring to the table, as we always do. We're very excited about the weekend. If you're having a pun out there on the weekend, please do it responsibly and stay safe out there and have a great Cox Plate weekend.